Okay, you guys, gotta grab my Bible out of my bag. And we don't have the PA system up running, so there's obviously something going on here, so I'm gonna try to throw my voice as much as I possibly can. If you are a person that wants to come in and ask a question, please throw your voice out so everybody can hear you, since I don't have a microphone to come to you, okay? We're gonna turn to 1 John. We're going to look at chapter 4. I'd love to get to chapter 5, but I don't see that happening. I'm trying to go through chapter 4 very quickly, because I believe that those who have been here, we understand the concept. Loving God. Now, let's see how much y'all remember. How do we show that we love God? By loving one another. By this ye shall know that these are my disciples, by the love they show toward one another. Get it? Can't love God unless you love your brothers and your sisters. How do you show you love God? By the love you have for one another. Period. Stick a fork in it. Okay, ain't no way around it. So remember what we've been studying. We talk about the love of God that he had for the Son. The love of the Son that he had for the church. All the wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon us. All the wonderful promises. All the hope that he gives us. And what does it keep coming back to? Loving. He said, maybe in communist countries, but no persecution. Are you trying to tell me that there's no persecution of Christians? Y'all heard the term conservative. Who do you think they're painting that brush, conservative? They're putting all Christians under that. Do you know in the United States of America, the Department of Homeland Security lists Christians as domestic terrorists? Are you trying to tell me that when Christians are considered domestic terrorists, that they're not persecuted? Are you telling me that a person that is a Christian that owns a business that refuses to make a cake for homosexuals and then is taken to court and then they want to persecute that person for their religious beliefs and it's all over the news and Christians are considered narrow-minded? Christianity is saying to be wrong. You're against science. You're against evolution. You're against progress. You're narrow-minded. And all these things, Christians are being persecuted every day in America, and it's getting worse and worse. And let me tell you about persecution. If a person in communist China is a Christian, that's my brother, that's my sister. If they're persecuted, I'm persecuted. We're all together. It doesn't matter what country they're in. We can't say there's no persecution just because they're being murdered and killed in Africa, murdered and killed in India, Indonesia, China, and all these other places. Guess what? There's persecution right here in the United States. Did you hear about the churches being blown up? Did you hear about the Nazi guy going in and shooting up the church with melanated folks in it, just blowing them away and killing them? It's going on. Christians are being persecuted. Christians are being targeted. Christians are being killed. It's going on today. Carlos, we are in persecution. The Bible tells us.
If you are in the Church of Christ,
yeah.
If you all call yourself a Church of Christ, you'll be a persecuted right there.
Yes,
because all the other churches do not think the way we believe.
What did Jesus Christ say that if you decide to follow God, you will be persecuted?
Right.
Everybody who follows God is persecuted.
Right.
Why? Because the world is in sin. And the world will hate you. And Jesus Christ said that the world is going to hate you. As they hated me, they'll hate you. As they persecuted me, they persecute you. That's Bible. That's scripture.
And here,
we can't get away from that.
You know why that is?
Yeah.
Because the world wants to do what they want to do.
That's right.
But the Bible tells us to live a certain way.
That's right.
You see,
let's dive into the scripture here. Let's get into 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to try to skim over it because, again, I beat you guys over the head with this. And we've got to love one another, right?
Yeah.
Okay, beloved, this is 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. We talked about that, right? Can't believe everything just because a guy comes and he has a white collar and things of that nature, has a suit on, or has a fancy outfit on, and calls himself a deacon, or a reverend, or a doctrine, or a bishop, or a prophet this, reverend that, doc, all these titles. What does Kelly say, the DVD, whatever it is? WD is a title. What is that?
Whoopish.
So basically it says try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many what? False prophets. We talked about that. Where are false prophets that come? Verse 2 says, hereby know these spirits, that every spirit that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Okay, now a person that confesses Jesus, that believes in him, and that he came, that his life came, that's of God. But verse 3 says, every spirit that confesses not, that means they don't confess, they don't believe, they're in some place waiting for the Messiah. Anybody knows about any people like that?
Yeah.
That say the Messiah hasn't come yet?
Yeah.
They're waiting on him to come? Or that they say that Jesus is not the Messiah, this person is the Messiah?
Yeah.
Okay, I can mention the name, I don't have to mention the name, you know what I mean? They say, we believe this guy is the Messiah. That means they're denying that Jesus is the Messiah.
Right.
They're saying Jesus is not the Messiah, this guy.
Right.
Or they're saying, no, he never even came. We're still waiting on him. We'll wait on him. Okay, let's see what it says about people like that. It says, every spirit, this is verse 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Every spirit, I know, hereby know, he that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses Jesus is Christ, is come into the flesh, is of God. That person is of God. Verse 3 says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the what? Spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist ain't coming. We're not waiting for the Antichrist. As they speak, Antichrist was already there in the first century, 2,000 years ago. Antichrist is still here today. People who do not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, they are Antichrist. That's right. The truth is that's not in them, because you have to have the Christ in order to follow the Son, in order to have
the truth.
The Father. Right, the truth. He's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth,
and the life.
Right. No one comes to the Father except
by me.
But by me, right? You cannot go to him. They're teaching that you can go to God using transcendental meditation, that you can go to several levels of consciousness, that you can become a God yourself. You don't need Christ. You go straight to the source yourself. Or it doesn't matter who you believe in. You call him Jesus. We call him this, or that guy, or that guy, or that prophet, or that, guru, or whoever it is that person, they believe that it doesn't matter. As long as the goal is to get to the higher source, we're all okay. That's not what the Word of God teaches.
Some teach you that you have to pray to Mary.
Exactly. Some people say you got to pray to the Mary, or pray to a statue, or pray to certain saints that have already died. You know, there's many ways of doing it. Statues. Some people worship rats. Some people worship cows. I mean, seriously, that's what idolatry is. Okay? Worshiping idols.
It's like meditation. It's an awareness of us to draw close to the Word of God,
yes,
the truth of God, not what we believe in, a statue or
yes,
some human.
When the Bible talks about meditation, it talks about meditating on things that are good, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are righteous, meditating on the Word. But the world, when it comes to the New Age philosophies and theories and practices, they say you meditate on nothingness. Erase your mind. Think of nothing. Clear your thoughts. And that way, once you're able to do that, and years of meditation to get to that point where you can clear your mind, then you can transcend up to these levels of higher consciousness. Exactly. That's the problem. Then we talk about that cup. A cup that is empty. Oh, here comes Satan. Woo-hoo-hoo. You know, he got plenty of room in that cup, right? Because you have an empty cup. But if you have it full with the Spirit, there's no room, right? You can't get in there.
And you become more.
That's true. Because once you get that house, you empty that house, the demons come in there, you're going to be worse than you were before.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have more demons. Remember that one demon that says, we are legion. Oh, a whole legion of 20,000, 30,000, 30,000 in a legion? You mean that many demons in that one guy? Well, you're a demon. That's scary. I don't want that many demons in there, right? I don't want any demons in there.
He couldn't shake it off.
He couldn't shake it off. He's pressed to do that. He said, why couldn't we remove the spirit? God, no. And there are certain spirits, he says, come with prayer and blessing. Yeah. Okay, prayer.
You get in the name of Jesus.
In the name, yes. In his name. Every spirit, so verse 3, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. I have overcome them, because greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. How do you overcome? By he that's in you. How does he get in you? Anybody know? Any idea? That Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Spirit in you. Gotta be born again. How are you born again? Got baptism is a big part of it.
Right.
Repentance is a big part of it. Confession is a big part of it. Believe is a huge part of it. Faith is a huge part of it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear the Word of God. Then you are pricked in your heart from your sin. You repent of your sin. You confess Jesus Christ as being the Son of the living God. You go to the wondering grave of baptism, where you were buried, and you come up a new creature in Christ. All your sins are remitted. You have the promise of the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling in you, the gift of the Holy Spirit, God in you. Let's go back to loving my brother and sister. Came of God, because God's in my brother. How can I reject my brother, hate my brother, if God is in him? Who am I rejecting when I reject his son? Who am I rejecting when I reject his daughter? God. You can't hate my kids. I'm sorry. I'll tell you as a parent right now. You cannot hate my kids and think you get in my face and say you love me. How do you think the father? We're his children. We are his children. A liar? Yes. That's a lie. You're a liar. And a true lady. Okay? Because he tells you point blank, you cannot love me. If you do not love my children over and over again, you can't be away from it.
Yeah. The way you said that, read that Bible.
Yes.
And you explained it the way you read.
Yes.
See, that's what's wrong with people. They read the Bible, and they want to interpret something all different.
Exactly.
And the Bible don't even say it.
This right here I'm reading to you guys, the Bible itself is interpreted. Now hear me?
Already.
Okay. In chapter 4. These conclusions I'm coming to are right here in the Word.
All
right.
Okay.
The book of Corinthians is explaining itself.
Right.
Let's keep going and you'll see. It says in verse 5, I can read verse 4 all the way. Okay. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They, the ones who reject Christ, the sinners, okay, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them
not.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. That's us. Okay, so the world heareth them. They speak a language. That's a language that the world speaks.
Right.
You don't speak that language.
Right.
So you are American, you speak American, okay? If you don't speak English, that's right. Unless we're from England. But if you're an American, you speak American. So you go over to a land where they don't speak in China, they speak Cantonese, okay? And you don't speak Cantonese, you're going to stand out. They're going to know you're not one of them. You know what that means? If you're a Christian, if you're not in the world that's not a Christian, they see you. You stand out.
Yep.
You don't speak their language.
Right.
You don't walk like them. You don't talk like them. Right. You stand out. That's how they can see you so easily.
Right.
So who will they see when they see you? If you're obeying and doing everything that the Father tells you to do.
They're
seeing him. Yeah. It's not the devil, it's seeing God.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, everyone.
They see the devil. I know what you're talking about.
You're saying that's what they're saying. But when they see us, they see God.
They see God.
Okay, if they reject us, they're rejecting
God.
Verse 6 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You try to tell people about the Word of God, they don't hear you. Okay? We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. If they know him, they're going to hear you. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You cannot talk to a person. You can speak to them. They hear you, but they don't. That spirit is not of God. You can never teach them the truth because they're not focused on God. They have their own truth. And there's nothing you can say to them.
They think in the carnal.
They think in the carnal mind. You're thinking and speaking in a spiritual mindset. They're thinking in a carnal mindset. You're speaking a language they cannot understand, even though they're physicists, even though they're mathematicians, even though they're doctors, okay? They're educated men, and they can't see basic truth. Basic truth. I tell you guys, there's something that people will go to their graves and call themselves some of the most wise men, the most educated men, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right? Can't understand. Why? Because there's one God. Wait a minute. How can you say there's one God, but you say there's a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit? That ain't one, that's three. And until this world ends, they'll have that argument. One little concept. See, you don't understand how much more your brain is. Spiritual brain set, I like that, versus a carnal, fleshly brain set. I don't care how much education you get. If you never become a Christian, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to go beyond that level. You can be as wise as you want to be, just like Albert Einstein. Okay? We're still figuring out his theories were correct. A lot of he's one of the biggest brains that we can think of, right? When we think of a brain, Albert Einstein, Adam Allison, hey, very smart. Theory of evolution, all this, I mean, not theory of evolution, theory of relative, what am I thinking? Okay? Somebody, I can't say it, come out. Theory of
relative.
We're still doing that, and then quantum physics, okay? Which they're really using now is quantum physics. And so all these mathematical formulas that this man made, he couldn't drive a car. Albert Einstein couldn't drive a car, couldn't do simple things. Somebody didn't carry him around because his brain was always working. But he was working in the quantum mind. Okay? And couldn't understand the regular concept. You could probably try to explain to him, how does a man meet a woman? They get married. Now two individual people now become one. Huh? How does that happen? Right? How do I obey the gospel and now I'm connected to everybody who's a Christian and we're one body? We're one. You understand that? So we're bound with the Son. So now, if he's part of the body is Christ, and I don't love him, that's why I love the Father, because that is the body. He's a member, body of the Son. See what I'm saying?
Well, that's because every one of us is a part of the body.
You got it.
Very important part.
Every one of us. So here is the most important part. That's why we have to love each other.
So there's so if I don't love you, then I'm not a part of the body.
You got it. Can't be.
Because
you can't love God. And you got to obey his command. How do you know that you love God? By obeying his commandment. What is his commandment? Love one another. Yes. Say it again, brother Officer.
Speaking Corinthians instead of helping an eye to the fruit.
Yes. Can't do it. This man here is an eye. Body don't move without the eyes. The eyes got to see, right? We know there's ways that blind people get around without the eyes. I'm just using this as an analogy. I'm the ear, so we're needed. You're the mouth, we're needed. Somebody's the hand, the arm, the leg, all these things, the skin, the organs, the heart, the liver, all these things are needed. Every one of us are needed in the body for the body to work. And that's why it's so important. He's coming back to this. That we have to love one another. We have to understand what God considers us.
It's
children.
Everybody belongs to me, and let's see it from Revelation. And the process of the Revelation, what's the Revelation? Well, whether it be doctor, lawyer, etc. And in this country, actually, I've been seeing it from many, many years. Everybody wants to be a pastor, everybody wants to be a teacher, and consists to study 3-5 years in theology. Everybody wants to be a part of because they accumulate money, exploiting people's faith. So I want to know your own opinion of fortune, your fortune or opinion about this faith.
Okay. Now, do we understand, and this is it's a little outside, so I won't spend too much time on this, but I want to address the question. And you laugh as if, because you don't really understand me, you don't know my mindset when it comes to false preaching. I'm with you.
Okay.
So please don't giggle because you don't know me.
All right.
You don't know what I know.
All right.
So there are false teachers, and we understand that 95%, if not more, of all the religions out there, all the people claiming to be Christians are not. The devil is very wise, and he has deceived a lot of people. The people that call themselves pastors and reverends and doctors and all these things and have all these degrees are teaching false doctrine. Guess what the Bible calls them out? The Bible tells them that the disciples came to them. The apostles said, if anybody, even an angel from heaven, comes to you with a different doctrine, let them be accursed. Because he knew that there were going to be false preachers and teachers. There is a gospel right now, it's called a prosperity gospel. Guess what? Just like Carlos said, they're out for the money. They go into it for the money. They're getting tax-free money. And it's all about the money, and most of them are Satanists and don't believe in God anyway. And so you have people that think that they're worshiping God, and the guy on the pulpit is an actual Satanist and doesn't believe in God.
Oh, no.
And throws demonic symbols and things of this nature out of the crowd, and they don't even know what it means, because most of us don't know about symbols and signs. So I'm not going to go into all of that, but I just want to address the fact that, yes, that is true. The Bible says that the broad way is large. Most people are going to go by the broad way, but the narrow path, very few will find it. So when you are a member of the body of Christ,
right,
you're in a very small minority. And even people who confess Christianity, but they're members of big denominational churches, hate you. And
right.
They talk to hate you.
That's right.
They think you're a cult. They think you're crazy because you don't want instrumental music or you don't believe in calling in reverend and all these other things. Yes.
What man can do by deceiving other men, other humans, God knows the heart. He
yes.
knows the truth.
Knows that one.
Whether we understand it, know it, believe it or not, is irrelevant because God knows what that person's intention is.
God definitely
God
knows.
God will bring blackness to the dark.
He said he would. He don't want us to judge. Okay.
Right.
Because he said you'll throw out the wheat, which is the good stuff, with the tares, faith.
Man.
So when the disciples say, hey, you want us to go out to those fake guys? We'll go out to those fake disciples. Oh, no. Because you'll end up throwing out the good ones, the real ones, the bad. Don't you do it, that's the reaper, Jesus, the one that's coming at the end, right? The Messiah. When he comes and he does the judgment, he's going to remove those fake, the fake tag, the wolf, the sheep fold. He's going to get rid of
it. Like I said last week, I said again this week,
yes.
You got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Yes.
And you will receive the Holy Ghost. If that happened, you are not saved.
That's true. Got to happen. All of it. We don't believe in the Son, okay, which is S-O-N. That means Son of God. We'll take this, we'll take that, we'll reject this, we'll reject that. We believe in the S-U-N, the total Son, all of it.
Everything.
We believe in everything in here. Old Testament, New Testament, the whole bit. Oh, you know, Church Christ folks, all those people that don't believe in the Old Testament. I'm like, what? We don't even understand the New Testament without the Old Testament.
Right?
You can't. You have to. I said, we're all about the Old Testament. We're about the whole Bible, the whole thing. It's just part of it.
That's right.
Let's get back to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Here we go again. I'm sounding a broken record, don't I? Because God wants us to hear this. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God born. We just talked about that, right? How do you become born again? So now you have to be a Christian to know how to love God. What does that mean? People who are not Christians, who have not been born again, don't know God. Okay? That's the difference. Verse verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is the highest degree that one can find. It is more important than all the spiritual gifts, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when they talked about the gifts would go away, okay? But love, which is charity, you'll see the word charity in the King James Version, the definition of charity is love. Love would continue. Why? Because God is love. He is eternal. And once you get to that point where you love like God loves, the world's down here because the world doesn't understand it. The world is still in sin. The world hasn't obeyed. The world hasn't accepted the Son. They haven't been born again. You see? And that's what separates us. And once you're to that level, you should be like God, loving one another, loving each other, like the Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the body, the church, us. And so we should love one another as God loved the Son, and as the Son loved the Father. It's all about love, L-O-V-E, the most important thing. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Verse 9 says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. That's how we live. It's not through us. It's not Brother Eric doing anything righteous. I didn't do anything righteous. I'm not righteous. I will never get to heaven on my own righteousness. It's through being in what Christ Jesus. In Christ. That's how we get there. Verse 10, herein is love. Uh-oh, here's the definition. Uh-oh. Herein is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Wherein is love? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a what? Propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
That's love right there, because he loved us even when we were in our sins. He set up a plan to bind us back. He knew that we were going to sin in the Garden of Eden and set up a plan for us to come back. That's love. There. Okay? That's love. And verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also what? Oh, love one another. Here we go again with loving the brother and the sister. That's why it's important we love one another. Because it's the very God that we serve, when we were in our sin, loved us so much in our sin that he gave his only begotten Son to bring us back to him. If he has that much intensity and love for us, we should love one another as well. All those hands flew up. Let me just think, you know, boom, boom, boom. Okay, go.
Can I love without the Holy Spirit?
Aha, good question. And just the stuff that we've learned right here today, question is, can we love without the Holy Spirit? Yay or nay?
No.
Hey, can't do it. I know it's time to wrap it up. We cannot do it, right? Because it takes that Holy Spirit to get to that level of love, right? We have to be in Christ to get to that level.
Chapter 13, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
Love is patient.
Yes.
Love is kind.
Yes.
Does not envy.
Does
not boast.
Does not boast.
It is not proud.
Not proud.
Does not dishonor us.
Yes.
It is not self-seeking. It is not easy.
Right.
It is no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, yes, always hopes, always.
There you go. And you want to know the definition of who God is? Read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In love. God is love. If you have those attributes, right? You have the attributes of God.
This is what God wants us to understand.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes.
What is the definition of love? Purity. Mainly sin. Holiness.
Holiness.
God is pure love. And his love is so strong. That's why we all have life. He wanted us to experience his love. That's how much he loved. He wanted to create something to experience that love so it would be a true gift from him for us to know that love.
It is a gift to have love, the love of God, the love of the Father. So,
amen.
This, by this, ye shall know
that these are my disciples by the love they show toward one another. Right? And then God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Plain and simple.
Love has to be cultivated. In other words, we have to practice.
That's it. It is an action verb, okay? And it is something you got to do. And that's why God, right, Brother Kelly says, all the stuff that we do, the charitable things we do, we don't do that to become Christians. We do that because we're Christians.
Right.
Okay, sorry, my time is out. May God have a blessing in the reading and the hearing and studying of his word.
Amen.